We'll go ahead and call the joint meeting of the Bloomington City Council, Normal Town Council, and the McLean County Board to order. Invocation by Member Owens of the McLean County Board, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for this time together where we as community leaders can come and discuss the issues that continue to come across and to our great county and to our cities. We ask, Lord, for your wisdom as we discuss the issues this evening. We again just thank you for this opportunity. We do pray for our county board chairman and for the town mayors, and as they continue to lead their various boards and their cities. Thank you for all you've given to us and all that we can say and do this evening. It'll be pleasing and honoring to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. For the record, the minutes of this meeting will be kept by the McLean County Administrator's Office and transmitted as appropriate to the various clerks. I will call the roll for the McLean County Board, followed by Mayor Stockton of Bloomington and Mayor Coos of Normal. McLean County Board members, Stan Hosselton.
Here.
Don Cavallini. Jim Soldner.
Here.
George Wendt.
Here.
Diane Bostick.
Here.
Dwayne Moss. Lori Wolrab.
Here.
Sonny O'Connor.
Here.
William Kaisley.
Here.
George Gordon.
Present.
John McIntyre.
Here.
John Butler.
Here.
Betty Rakowskis.
Here.
Paul Segobiano.
Here.
Terry Renner.
Here.
Kathy Ahart. Eric Rinkin.
Here.
Benjamin Owens.
Present.
Bob Knuckles.
Here.
Matt Sorensen. Present. 18 members present. The county has a quorum. Mayor Stockton.
Okay, for the Bloomington City Council, Alderman David Sage phoned in earlier. He is ill this evening and is not present. Alderman Kevin Hitty. Alderwoman Judy Stearns.
Here.
Alderman Bernie Anderson. Alderwoman Karen Schmidt. Alderman Stephen Purcell.
Here.
Alderman John Hansen.
Here.
Alderman Jim Pruin. Alderwoman Jennifer McDade.
Here.
And for the town of...
City Manager David Hales.
Here.
City Clerk Tracy Covert. Deputy City Manager Barb Atkins. Okay, we also have a quorum.
For the town of Normal, Council Member Jason Chambers is not in attendance tonight. Jeff Fritzen.
Here.
Cheryl Gaines will be attending, but later. Adam Nielsen.
Here.
Sonia Reese.
Here.
Chuck Scott.
Here.
And we do have a quorum for the town of Normal. And joining us also is City Manager Mark Peterson.
Very good. We have a quorum. For members present, please note the PA devices are distributed at the places. Simple to operate, simply press the large button. Red light will illuminate to let me or one of the mayors know that you wish the floor, and when recognized, you may speak. We have an item of information and then three items for action. The item of information is the presentation of a proposed McLean County Regional Planning Comprehensive Plan. Presented by Ms. Jennifer Six, the senior planner at the Regional Planning Office, Regional Planning Commission, excuse me. And at this time, I'd like to turn the floor over to Ms. Six.
Let's see if this does seem to be working. Thank you very much, Chairman Sorensen, Mayor Stockton, Mayor Coos, and members of the assembled boards. Thank you very much for having us here this evening. I'm here representing our Executive Director, Paul Russell, who is somewhere in Maine and thus unfortunately is not able to join us this evening. I'm here to present an overview of the new update of the McLean County Regional Comprehensive Plan and to talk a little bit about some of the characteristics of that plan, some of the contents, and give you a sense of what's in it. You have copies of this plan update draft on the tables in front of you, and if you like, you can follow along. Again, this is just an overview. This is not a comprehensive review of the contents of this document, so I trust you will have an opportunity to read the draft and consider its contents over the next days and weeks. Before we move on, I'd like to talk a little bit about why we're doing a comprehensive plan at all, and you know, what is the purpose of going to the trouble of developing such a thing. It's intended to provide a guide and allow us to coordinate approaches to growth and other community issues at all levels of government. And it provides a framework for continuing regional cooperation in support of sensible growth, which is really the core concept of this plan. And again, it provides a guide for coordination of both public and private action towards the goal of that sensible growth. And another reason at this time, of course, is that our 1999 plan, the plan currently in force, really is out of date. 10 years is a long time if you think back of the 10 years and events thereof, and just here in McLean County, let alone across the country and across the world. A lot has happened in this time period, so it really was time to revisit this and do an update. And key to that process was the update committee, most of which, fortunately, is with us tonight. And I'm going to introduce them in two groups. First of all, those committee members who were part of the very large committees that assembled to develop the 1999 plan. That group included both of our current mayors and Mark Peterson as well, and also our current committee chair, Gene Moonen, who's at the back of the room, who was involved in that process as well, and is, of course, a former member and chair of the Normal Planning Commission. Connie Griffin, who unfortunately is not with us this evening, who recently retired as the Director of Community Development for the City of Bloomington. Phil Dick, also sitting in the back, the Director of Building and Zoning for McLean County. Mike Hall, sitting in the back, Director of Public Works for the Town of Normal. Greg Coos, Executive Director of the McLean County Museum of History. Don Meyer, Director for the University of Illinois Extension for McLean County. And Gretchen Monty, who served on the Regional Planning Commission Greenways Committee and still does, and was a member of both the main steering committee and the subcommittees for the 1999 regional plan. And Roy Treadway, a professor emeritus at Illinois State University, a specialist in demographics and a key part not only of the 1999 effort, but also our current one. I'd also like to mention that Ken Emmons, also recently retired from the City of Bloomington as the city's planner, was very much involved in our current update committee until his retirement. New members on this effort: Mercy Davison, town planner for the Town of Normal; George Gordon of the McLean County Board and also of Illinois State University; Doug Grovestein, recently retired as a chief of engineering for the City of Bloomington; Scott Haft, president of the McLean County Farm Bureau; Eric Schmidt, the McLean County engineer; Mike Swartz, also of the Farm Bureau; and Marty Vanegg, CEO of the Economic Development Council. This group has been working since late in 2006, has held 15 meetings plus numerous additional meetings across that 2.5-year period. And the contributions of this committee and its members represent the first stage of community involvement in developing this updated plan. I'd like to talk a little bit about the context of the plan, and this is something that the committee spent a lot of time talking about as well. So much so that as the scope of the recession that began in 2007 became clear last fall, and in light of the financial crisis that was triggered last October, the committee began discussing the impact of those events on the picture of McLean County's future that was being developed in the draft plan. And the committee, as a result of that discussion, began drafting a preface to the document to discuss their conclusions, which you'll find at the very beginning of the document. And noting that that era of sort of new global and economic uncertainty made predicting outcomes more difficult, the committee wanted to look at local effects of those uncertainties and consider how they should be read into the plan. Although not as affected as severely as some parts of the country, our community has experienced rising unemployment, an increase in home foreclosures, and has felt, as we all remember last summer, the impact of rising energy prices. The committee also noted the fiscal concerns confronting local governments and the resulting impact on governmental services and projects. In addition, they recognized the ongoing fiscal crisis would affect anticipated revenues, further limiting government activity into the future. And a particular impact was noted on not only maintaining but expanding infrastructure as demanded by new growth. And the committee concluded, therefore, that the plan should reflect the renewed importance of policies and practices which promote sensible growth. Such policies include a commitment to sustainability, careful stewardship of environmental resources, and the use of more compact development patterns that would aid in conserving land, water, and energy, and reduce the demand for new and increasingly expensive infrastructure. And in some of these specified areas, promoting and supporting energy alternatives will be critical in creating a sustainable future, an area in which we here in McLean County are fortunate to already be leading. The committee also called for increased attention to alternative modes of transportation, especially a sustained commitment to improving public transit services and availability. And the committee reached the consensus that the adoption of sensible growth policies would enable McLean County and its communities to continue its economic development, produce new jobs, and attract even more of the creative and productive citizens to live in our communities that we'd like to see arrive. Moving on, let's take a quick look at how the plan works and what it does. As we alluded to earlier, the comprehensive plan provides a guide for coordinating actions in support of growth and development. It also establishes a set of regional goals, a consensus on what kind of region and community we're working to build. And in light of those goals, the plan defines objectives which support the attainment of the goals. It's a stepped process and a very logical one. The plan also suggests policies to implement and actions to take which will help achieve the objectives which in turn lead back to the goals. The plan also includes recommendations for implementation, and the goals, objectives, policies, and actions serve as benchmarks, a way in which we can measure progress and guides to areas in which further attention is needed. The plan also very much takes the long view. This plan, a little uncharacteristically, has a 25-year horizon to 2035. It's a little more conventional for comprehensive plans to look at a 20-year horizon. This has been coordinated to tie in with some of our transportation planning efforts and also with the horizon of the East Side Highway Study, because a lot of the data that was developed for this plan was also used in the highway study and is used in our transportation planning. Let's talk a little bit about what the plan doesn't do. It doesn't create a mandate for specific steps or actions. It's an advisory document, as are the municipal plans of both Bloomington and Normal. However, and there's always a however, when adopted by the local governments, the plan can become a statement of official public policy. The plan also provides a framework for certain types of government actions, such as zoning, the use of subdivision regulation, and other regulatory and legislative tools, and the use of government aid to such community goals as economic development. The plan does not require the implementation of all of the actions discussed or the enactment of all of its principles. It acknowledges that some actions and some recommendations will require further study and evaluation. And it provides flexibility for determining priorities as implementation proceeds and as circumstances warrant and conditions change. And let's finally take a look at what's in the plan. And these are the same subject areas that were considered in the 1999 plan. And at that time, these very large committees were formed, one committee per subject area. The membership of our current update committee is drawn from each of those subject areas so that there's representation across each of these fields. So we've preserved a lot of the expertise that was brought to the table, multiple tables, in fact, back in the late 90s. We start with natural environment, historic preservation and urban revitalization, economic development, population, of course, housing, land use, transportation, community facilities and services, and finally a section on implementation, on actually putting the plan into practice. The plan also contains subject area plans, specific plans that are part of the entire document that are dedicated to land use and some subsets thereof, transportation, and community facilities relating to various aspects of public service, such as water and sewer, recreation, and emergency services. In order to provide some direction as to where we want to go with this plan and in our communities, we need to start with where we are. So the plan examines current conditions in our region, and I've got a very quick overview of that. This is population based on Census 2000, and that's kind of where we start in a lot of these discussions. Evaluating population, its likely change, and the kind of demands that population growth make on other aspects of community planning. And again, this is McLean County total in 2000, 150,000 people. In 2005, mid-decade, as many of you will recall, both Normal and Bloomington undertook special census counts, which changed the numbers. So we've estimated, based on those counts plus some additional data, that by mid-decade, McLean County had grown to 166,500 and some people total, and both Bloomington and Normal had substantially increased their population from Census 2000. As our committee noted, recent global and national events have influenced conditions here at home as well. Unemployment continues to be an area of concern, although not to the degree, obviously, that it is in other parts of the state or across the country. The recession has also impacted on regional and local housing markets. And although fuel prices have not reached the highs, at least not yet, that we saw last summer, the cost of transportation infrastructure continues to rise. I want to note that some relief in that score has been provided through funding under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, which is often referred to as the Stimulus Bill or the Recovery Act. That legislation is going to provide roughly $3.9 million of funding to local street and road projects for all three large local governments. It's also providing a substantial amount of money to the construction of the new transit facility on the west side. There may be future transit funding available for certain high-speed rail projects, and we'll have to see how that plays out. One of the things we do in the comprehensive plan, and once we've established our framework of current conditions, is look at trends to see how they influence where we might expect to go. And it's our basis, that analysis, for extrapolating the likely outcomes and understanding what it is we're planning, what it exactly we can reasonably expect. And it also helps to define where we might see ourselves going in 2035 and the period leading up to that. And from that, we can determine preferences regarding growth and development, which in turn aid us in advancing desired outcomes. Where can we get from here? What can we reasonably expect to do? Provide guidance in accommodating challenges and answering the questions about how do we navigate the unexpected outcomes. Let's take a look first at where the population seems to be heading. And this is our projection for 2035. And I'll discuss this in a little bit more detail, but obviously we've got the entire county at more than 230,000 people, 115,000 in Bloomington, and almost 70,000 in Normal. The plan, on page 60, has a very detailed table, which breaks out by town, township, village, county as a whole, all across the board, and also provides some additional detail with respect to the urbanizing portion of the county, mostly surrounding Bloomington Normal. So you can get a sense of the impact of growth and of change, really, on the population distribution throughout McLean County. And obviously, there's a particular emphasis on the impact of urbanization around the two cities because that's the area that's most likely to develop in terms of population and other forms of growth. I want to talk a little bit in detail about methodology on this first because this is really the foundation of the plan. This is the point at which we establish our understanding of what's going to be needed, and therefore it's important for people to have a sense of if not certainty, then at least certainly a reasonable set of confidence about the approach to doing population projections. The initial population projections we did for this plan and others were a sort of a statistical extrapolation based on Census 2000, which were later informed, as I mentioned earlier, by the special census counts done for both Bloomington and Normal. With those special results considered, some upward change in overall projected population was found because of the really surprising level of change between 2000 and mid-decade. As I mentioned before, we also coordinated work on this plan with the work that was done on the East Side Highway Plan, which required us to produce a a land use plan and some population projections for that same target date, 2035, to allow for certain forms of transportation modeling to take place. So we took the same data and we worked with it. We worked with the consultants who worked on that plan. And really the sort of key input from the committee had to do with the contributions of the individual expertise of members of the committee that could bring to added information and sort of added detail about the nature of likely population change and location. Because in addition to simply projecting numbers, for the purposes of the highway study and the travel modeling, we had to try and look at location as well, to try and determine where not only new population would exist, but where it would settle, where people would be likely to live and to work. Obviously, this plan also has to be consistent with the expectations created out of the two municipal plans that we worked on, also pretty much mid-decade. So we started with those plans and the projections that were contained within them, and then extrapolated them further and looked at the conclusions that we'd drawn there and tried to see if they still held up and how we could advance them a little bit further. The horizon of those both of those plans is a decade before. It's 2025. So we needed to do some additional work to take it 10 years further out. In addition to the mathematical analysis, essentially, the committee also considered information regarding land ownership, suitability for development, natural and built features which might impact on development in specific areas, and existing and contemplated land uses and subdivision regulations which might have some controlling interest over where development might take place. We also based, I'm going to back up a little here, our thinking about population on a series of assumptions, and these are set forth on pages 66 and 67 of the draft plan. And I'm going to go through a couple of them more specifically here. The idea was to sort of create a baseline, a set of ideas about the nature of McLean County and growth that's occurred here, and apply that to our consideration of likely population change. The projections assume that, among other things, factors such as our location here in the center of the state, our diversified economy, and a high quality of life that have shaped our growth over the last few decades will continue to sustain growth here. Also, that our economy will not be adversely affected over the long term. Let's not think about short-term results, but again, our 25-year horizon, by broader economic conditions such as our current recession. Further, we assumed that lower unemployment in one sector or industry that might emerge over the years would be at least partially offset by gains in others. However, it is assumed in this plan that long-term growth will be at a lower rate than has been the case over the last decade or two. And that slowdown will sort of accumulate past 2010. In other words, the rate drops somewhat between 2000 and 2010, and we see it slowing even further just as a sort of matter of natural influences after 2010 through 2035. Rural growth is going to continue, but at a lower rate than that in the Bloomington Normal area. The committee and the staff spent a considerable amount of time looking at the projections and the underlying assumptions. Obviously, and we've stated this on page 67 of the plan, if those assumptions, based as they can only be in our recent history, turn out not to be true, we'll have to require some reassessment as to future circumstances and what they dictate in new projections. Reevaluation of those projections based on those changes would also be needed. That's kind of why we do updates. Ordinarily, we do them a little more often than every 10 years. If, after Census 2010, we discover that our projections are out of kilter, we may need to take another look at some of this and determine in which direction, first of all, we might have erred, and also what kinds of amelioration we might want to consider as we move forward. Some other trends and extrapolations were also considered in the plan. Demographics. We looked at a number of potential demographic characteristics and shifts, with perhaps the most compelling being the challenges that are going to emerge from dealing with an aging population, the large percentage increase in older residents that we're likely to experience, people above age 65, as those of us who are in the baby boom generation age, is going to be a definite impact on how our community operates and what its demands are. The committee had the benefit of data being developed by the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging, which has been doing significant studies on this subject over the past couple of years and continues to do so. This aging of the population, which is a nationwide phenomenon, frankly, will create whole new challenges in housing, in social services, very certainly in transportation, and in healthcare. We also looked at resource management, particularly with regard to agricultural land, the preservation of which is a key concern in this plan. Water, a resource that we know we need to protect and manage carefully, and energy, including alternative energy. And as I mentioned before, this is an area in which we already have some experience. We also looked at economic development, and that's discussed in Chapter 4 of the plan, and that was the benefit of great insight coming from Marty Vanags and the EDC. Now, on to the meat of the plan itself. The actual plan maps that you'll find in your document, I've got a few of them highlighted here. This is the county land use plan for all of McLean County. You'll find it much, much easier to see in the bound document than on the wall. And this is really the sort of outcome expectation of our 2035 plan, showing areas of growth, types of generalized types of land use. This is not as specific as the two municipal plans. Concentrations of certain kinds of activity, institutional, commercial, and industrial. And also the development and the cores of smaller communities around the county. The plan also includes, in the same chapter where you found that, and this is map 7.3, as you can see, and further on into chapter 7, you'll find detailed area maps for some of the edge sections of rural development in McLean County, down around the Crestwick area, around Downs, and west of Bloomington Normal, along West Route 9. So there are specific maps on that, and there's also a kind of blow-up map showing a good chunk of the urbanized area, and it makes it a little easier to see what's going on there. Now, as the committee considered all of the plans and all of the decisions that were being made around them, and as we went through each of the subject areas described in the plan and came up with the objectives we discussed and considered priorities and looked at ways and means by which these could be implemented, the committee began to discuss which of those across all of the subject areas of the plan were to them the most critical. And you'll find in the executive summary at the beginning of the document a list of the priority initiatives that they selected and identified as being kind of the starting point for fulfillment of this comprehensive plan. The first few of these relate to land use. One is to identify communities, neighborhoods, and business districts to be targeted for revitalization activities and funding. The next, to periodically review and update the land use plans and ordinances to provide for more compact development patterns in urban areas, to achieve more efficient use of land, energy, environmental, and fiscal resources. And that kind of goes back to the discussion earlier from the preface about the need to really focus on sensible and sustainable growth that can provide for our citizens while at the same time making it possible to continue to develop in a responsible way that doesn't exhaust our resources, any of our resources. The next initiative was to create a comprehensive and up-to-date inventory of historic and archaeological resources throughout McLean County to provide an improved basis for preservation efforts. And this is an activity that we've already sort of talked about within McLean County Regional Planning, which would take advantage of our computerized mapping system and allow us to really identify locations that are sensitive or that do provide a potential development opportunity as a result of their historic richness. And the committee also recommended that a priority initiative be to explore the costs, benefits, and alternatives for providing inclusionary housing in McLean County communities, which is to say to look at ways in which we can do community development which provides a lessening of the income stratification that so often occurs in neighborhoods, to provide varying types of housing at various income levels within the same neighborhood so that people get some diversity in their neighborhoods and diversity of living options so that we don't get concentrations of certain types of income levels in disadvantaged areas. One more note about sustainability. There's a companion document to the regional plan, which you'll be seeing, I hope, in a couple of weeks. It is the McLean County Regional Greenways Plan. This, too, is an update. And behind the text here, there's a map. You can sort of make it out. And this is a much more environmentally targeted document. It looks at environmental protection as well as recreational use, the creation of not only greenways, which have a generalized application, but also trail systems and other aspects of using our natural environment to its best advantage and for the best benefit of all the residents of the county. Again, that'll be coming out soon, and we think that, as was done in the past, it will be helpful to have the planning commissions, the county board committees, and then your full boards examine these as a pair. A lot of additional detail can be found in the Greenways plan, and again, we'll have that out soon. We also have plans for transportation. This first one is the urban classified system, which is to say streets and roads in the urbanized area, which is defined by that kind of weird oblong squared off thing around Bloomington Normal, that are in essence eligible to use federal money for upgrade, repair, improvement, whatever. This illustrates a programmed, planned, and expected, basically already funded, five-year improvements out of our transportation improvement program, basically, and also shows longer-term proposed streets and roads inside the metropolitan planning area by classification. We start with arterials, move down to minor arterials, collector streets, and those are illustrated on this map. There's also a rural road plan in Chapter 8 of the plan, which goes into more detail about the same kind of information, the same kind of potential projects throughout the county. And we also have a plan for alternate modes. Now, this is going to be updated a little bit this summer while we're still in the process of holding hearings and having discussions with the planning commissions. It illustrates enhancements for transit, bike and pedestrian facilities, and other alternative forms of transportation that includes rail and air. I should note here that Normal is currently working on, and in fact has a draft bicycle plan for the town. Mercy, where is that now? Can you just let me know? Okay, so that's still in progress, but that's
City Council Monday, next Monday.
Oh, soon. So as we move forward with some of this, as each of the governments looks at the notion of the alternate modes plan, that may be something that informs decision-making in other communities as well. In the old plan, the 1999 plan, Chapter 8 was also the long-range transportation plan for that time period. We now have a separate document, which is almost as long as the current updated regional comprehensive plan. It's much more exhaustive than the old transportation plan was. It, too, has a horizon of 2035. What a coincidence. This includes some countywide information as well, and this is really your better resource if you're looking for very detailed information on long-term transportation planning. We decided to take some of the detail out of the regional comprehensive plan and keep it sort of sequestered in context in the long-range transportation plan. We'll be updating this plan probably next year. And with any luck, we won't have census numbers by then, but we should have some travel modeling done internally in our office that will help expand this plan and make it more generally useful to the local governments as well. Some priority initiatives for transportation. Investigate the creation of a transit district to support expanded and enhanced public transit service throughout the Bloomington-Normal metro area. And this obviously flows from the notion of a much more sustained commitment to transit service in general. And also, as we noted before, under land use, an ongoing review and update of land use plans to achieve the more efficient use of resources, as we discussed before. Finally, plans for community facilities and services. There are several. They include a regional water system plan, the sewer plan and facilities for the Bloomington Normal area, parks, trails, and schools, and emergency services, a couple of examples. This is the proposed regional water system plan. It also includes a water system map for Bloomington Normal, and the public sewer service for the Bloomington Normal area, which includes some of our new facilities and some proposed ones as well. Priority initiatives here. Consider alternatives for local governments to share costs and revenues from property and sales taxes resulting from future economic development, I'm sorry. Support the development of a comprehensive digital database and directory of our natural resources. Again, this uses our digital and electronic mapping systems as a guide for development-related decisions. So once again, we have a good centralized source for information about areas that might be subject to development. Review the current structure of development fees to help ensure efficiency and equity in the provision of community facilities and services throughout the county. And finally, implementation, which is the final chapter of the document. There is an extensive discussion. First of all, yes, it happens in every PowerPoint. It's the slide full of text. These are all the priority initiatives we've just been talking about. The implementation chapter contains tools, suggestions, various kinds of legal processes that can be used to implement various planning techniques and preferences, and ways in which the recommendations of the plan can be put into play. And one of those is the official map, and this is the draft of the official map, which is virtually impossible to see here, but you have it in your bound copy, and this is something that we would look towards being adopted by each of the local governments as part of the regional plan. Next steps from tonight. This is really the first sort of public discussion about this document. There will be more in the review by the local governments, by both county board committees and planning commissions. That would include, we hope, public hearings and public comment on this document. Adoption, again, and an ongoing assessment once adopted of the implementation and also of the need to reevaluate and update further as time goes on. With that, I have only to say thank you very much on behalf of the Regional Plan Update Committee and also the staff of the McLean County Regional Planning Commission. And I would be happy to take any comments or questions you have for me now.
Are there any questions of Ms. Six? Member Rakowskis?
I just want to say the maps, in the short time I've had this plan in front of me, are phenomenal. I haven't studied all the content, but being that I've been part of this process, I think this is my third time going through these comprehensive plans, as in some capacity, either in Planning Commission or on the County Board. They've broken down, and so much more information. I want to say kudos, and whoever was in charge of doing all this, I know it was a team effort, but I'm very impressed at that point. So thank you.
I'm very gratified because I'm actually the map person in our office.
So. I didn't know that, Jennifer.
But thank you.
But very impressive work on it.
I want to say again, we have the benefit of our GIS system, and our regional planning is kind of the central repository for GIS data from McLean County. It is an absolutely invaluable resource. It is something I use all the time. I know that my analogs in offices throughout all the local governments say the same. Every year the technology gets better, our information gets better, the ways in which we can use it to do analysis gets better, and it makes us all better at what we do. That's true for public works, it's true for engineering. It's a fabulous thing. I probably wouldn't be a planner if it weren't for the fact that we have this tool.
Member Wendt.
You know, on your map, and looking at some of the different areas and stuff, I see certain areas that are designated for low to medium intensity housing, mm-hmm. and then commercial and governmental use. Now, if a piece of ground that somebody's familiar with doesn't suit that particular, and I can see several different areas that I've been on that land,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't suit what's on this map, how do you get that changed on the map?
Well, that's part of the discussion, I think, that goes forward in public comment and your consideration of this document in its draft form. And also, as I said earlier on, this is an advisory document. It's not a straitjacket. And mm-hmm. again, the land use plans that we show here are the product of a lot of careful consideration by the members of the committee and the staff people who support them. But
well, I noticed some
it's not an absolute.
No.
The other thing to keep in mind, and sometimes it's easy to sort of lose sight of the time frame that we're talking about development taking place across 25 years. Think about how much the community we know has changed in the last 10. My family's lived here since the late 60s, more than 40 years. It's a different place. We're talking about, 70% of that time span? Think of what this will be like. Think of what our community will be like across that distance. It's tough to conceive of. It's tough to think about, and that's part of what we're trying to do here. We understand that there may be specific instances, and we've already run into some, where an actual development is taking place, a proposal's been made. It may not match the land use plan, and it may require adjustment.
Yeah, that's what I just noticed. There are certain places that I have walked some of mm-hmm. that land. I know it would not fit what's on this map. I've been over the land.
Okay.
I know it won't fit.
And I think that's the kind of comment we'll want to hear and look at as we do modifications.
It's different from, getting maps and
right.
looking at things and stuff. So.
Okay. Member Renner.
I wanted to highlight some of the points that you'd made. about us sort of reaching a point of diminishing marginal returns in our growth. So you're not looking at a linear model over the next 25 years. You're assuming our rate of growth is going to begin to continue to taper off a little bit over
taper
time.
Taper off somewhat. I think it's page, I'll have to, every time we do a new draft, the page numbers change. So I start to get a little foggy about which page things are on. But I think on page 67, in the upper right-hand column, there's actually a discussion about the growth rates. And we have Professor Treadway to thank for a lot of this work because he sat down with me on numerous occasions and worked through and helped me to understand, you know, the mathematics of what we were doing and sort of guided us towards looking at this statistically in the appropriate fashion. But again, it is page 67 this time around. Top of the right-hand column, there's a discussion about how this breaks down over time and also by jurisdiction because the growth rates are a little different between the county as a whole, obviously, and Bloomington and Normal.
Just to follow up on that, part of the point here was, and certainly I'm familiar with Professor Treadway for many, many years.
Of course.
And just if, for example, in the 2010 census, things were to change a little bit, you talked about recalibrating it just for everybody's understanding. If you recalibrated it slightly, it's not going to change the 110,000 population projection of Bloomington to 200,000 or 82,000. It's you're talking about very slight calibrations in your long-term projections based on the full census of 2010, probably 2015, and I would assume 2020.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we'll see what happens mid-decade at 2015 as well. I think one of the things that caused us to sort of stop in our tracks as we were beginning this process was the special census results in Bloomington and Normal, because they really exceeded everyone's expectations. And that led us to go back to, we had a sort of preliminary draft of the population projections countywide. Again, it's the same chart you see in the document on page 60 with all of the townships, all of the towns and villages, all of the cities, everything. And we'd done an earlier version of that based on earlier decades, census 2000 and backwards, and some interim information as well. And then we got the special census results and thought, wait, something has happened here. This is a little bit outside of what we expected to see. And that, as I said before, kind of informed this round of our population projections. I have to say, our population projections are somewhat more moderate than some of the sources that were brought to bear in the East Side Highway study. The consultants who did the study had essentially commercial demographics companies who were looking at much more aggressive numbers. And our response to that was to say, you know, we've tended to believe that we're probably zeroing in on a good range. And, you know, we tend to be a little higher than the state's projections. And it's because of that local knowledge, not just Professor Treadway and his many years of experience, but also all the people who know, as we heard just now, about local conditions, who understand about the development potential of specific pieces of land in specific areas. And that tells us not only about how much population we're likely to accommodate, but where. And that, of course, was critical for the East Side Highway study, but it's also a factor in looking at the kind of development we're likely to see and where it's going to take place, and that's kind of the source of the land use plan. We'll see. Everyone's waiting for Census 2010. We're hoping that they can actually pull it off since they've had a certain amount of difficulty with some of the underlying technical details. I think everyone wants to see what happens vis-a-vis the mid-decade results we had and how that impacts on the numbers we see for 2010.
And by terms of numbers, we're not, I'm assuming you're also, of course, not just talking about the aggregate number of however many people, but the demographic changes.
Absolutely.
Of people of a variety of different income groups and ethnic backgrounds as our county diversifies.
That is discussed in this plan. It's discussed, I think, in more detail, not just in terms of ethnicity, but also of age cohorts in the two municipal plans, partly because it's a little easier to get a hold of how those things break out. It's always interesting to deal with Normal because of the issues created by the student population and what that does to looking forward at population and anticipated distribution of population by age. Again, this is something where Professor Treadway has really been helpful in guiding us through the thickets that creates.
Thank you very much.
Member Butler.
Yes, I was a little surprised that in Figure B on page 9, these priority initiatives for McLean County Regional Comprehensive Plan, that water wasn't mentioned. It seems to me that we need to be a little bit, should be more concerned about the development of water resources, especially if we're going to support a population increase of 60 or 70,000 people or more. we've already seen the, I mean, I've been around long enough to remember 1988, when and I lived in another community, and I got real familiar looking at the bottom of that lake. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel comfortable knowing that I had property that had value as long as it had services. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I just think that you need to, I would say we need to have water as a much higher priority than some of these other things that are on this top eight list.
And again, this is a sort of initial cut by the committee, and I'm not sure that it was intended as a final statement about the, and this is not ordered necessarily. We took it in order, listed it here from the sort of most general to the most specific. It doesn't necessarily mean that's the level of priority for those things. If you look into some of the later chapters, there are discussions about goals with respect to water conservation and water use. We have, again, the discussion about looking at a regional water system, at the possibility of using some portion of access to the Mahomet Aquifer and how that might change the complexion of our water distribution system. This is a long-term process. I remember Mayor Markowitz talking about this 7 years ago, and it continues to be something that's looked at very seriously and, again, is referenced in the plan, but I understand your point that it's not front and center in our executive summary, and that's something we can certainly look at.
Thank you. Member Knuckles.
Jennifer, you may have mentioned this during your presentation. I may have just missed it. And speaking of water, how much more projected housing growth do you estimate between Tawana Barnes Road and the Eastside Highway corridor?
Actually, a lot of that area is currently shown on the land use plan, and it's actually easier to see this on the Bloomington plan than on the county plan, as commercial development as well as residential development, in part because of the proximity of the airport. I'd have to pull up the actual map here just a second. We do show, of course, the current recommended corridor based on the latest phase of the East Side Highway study. Now, that study has not yet gone before any of the local governments, and the status of that is very much, you know, waiting for a number of things to fall into place before we proceed with what's left of the phase one of that process. I realize it's kind of hard to see on this map, but we do show some residential use in that area, but there's also some commercial and more highly intensive use in that area as well. I can't give you exact acreage right off the top of my head. There's a chart in the chapter that discusses overall housing demand for the general population. But this, again, is something that's explored in more detail in the two municipal plans, particularly Bloomington's.
Are there any other questions for Ms. Six? Alderman Nielsen, sorry.
Well, if it doesn't get built, we'd have to look at other ways to move people around, because we still think that that section of the community, that area to the east, is going to be a prime development area for both residential use and for various kinds of commercial use, plus all the things that go with that. So one way or another, you've got to find a way to get people around, to get them to and from their houses and their schools and their jobs, not only within that area but across the community. One of the things that came out of that East Side Highway study, this first piece of phase one that was completed earlier this year, or late last year, I lose track, was the necessity to reinforce our east-west connections. And that's part of the picture. No matter what we do, whether there's an east side highway of whatever level or not, we have to concentrate on making sure that everyone who lives east of Tawanda Barnes Road eventually is able to get into town, or further into town, and back out again, and is able to make the connections they need to get across the entire community, and vice versa. You know, part of the idea here is to look at ways to make sure that we have good connections all the way around. 150 has been mentioned as a particularly critical element here. We also have to do this with respect for the existing use of the land. You know, not just going out and building because it's there, but looking at the use that's already in place and understanding that that's an enormous and important part of our heritage and an important part of our economic basis as well. Whether or not it gets built is a decision that's not going to be made next week. You know, we've got a long way to go on that process. Either way, we need to look at ways to find effective measures getting people in and out. Transit is a major part of this. The transit system has done a great deal in the last 2 years, and they're about to do a great deal more. But we really need to look at ways to make the entire community transit accessible and to pay for it. It's not cheap, but it needs to happen. And that would be my editorial comment for the evening, by the way.
Member Rankin.
Thank you. Along the same lines, I noticed in the transportation section, it's mentioned a number of times, and you mentioned in your presentation the possibility of high-speed rail. I understand that probably at the time that this was coming to fruition, it seemed as if that was quite a ways in the future and that the funding wouldn't be there. Would this have to be significantly revised if, in fact, that high-speed rail comes to fruition that would connect Chicago to the Bloomington-Normal area and maybe even creating a larger exurb?
That's an interesting question, and it's one we kind of touched on, but we didn't really get into in detail here. Again, because this is an update, you know, if we were starting from page one and starting over, that might be something we'd look at. Mayor Stockton has talked a lot about the future of this community as kind of distant exurb, as a satellite city, and the ways in which transportation change could create that. If high-speed rail comes to fruition sooner rather than later, I think sooner is probably a minimum of 5 to 10 years in terms of the implementation. There's a lot of work and a lot of money that would have to be spent to get it done. I also saw in the paper today a possibility that they'd propose a really high-speed corridor like the ones in Europe that would miss us completely. So write to your congressperson. those would all be issues we'd have to look at. I think it would change some of our assumptions about incoming population. You know, we've already seen some of that. We'd see more. It's a question of timing and, you know, how long it would take to get that in place, how fast it would really go, and how much people would be willing to say, let's go live in Bloomington or Normal and work in, you know, Chicago or vice versa.
Are there any questions for Ms. Six? Mayor Stockton?
I would just make a couple of comments on the previous questions. First of all, on the East Side Highway, I think the fundamental question there is whether the highway will attract growth or whether the highway is a reaction and will facilitate growth that's going to occur anyway. I tend to be more of a believer on the latter, that market conditions will drive further growth on the East Side, the market will drive growth in that direction. And if that happens, I think the planning for the East Side Highway is important to be sure that we have a highway there to be able to move traffic in and out of a high-growth area. One of the things that could drive growth, I guess I should preface that by saying that I personally believe that our 2010 census estimates in here will be slightly high, because we've seen with the recession a downturn in growth. On the other hand, I think the possibility of Chicago or the fact that Chicago is growing closer and the ability to establish, as Member Rankin has suggested, that not only Bloomington-Normal but the entire region may be able to seize that as an opportunity for growth and prosperity as Chicago gets closer. And I think in the longer term, we'll see even greater growth than what you're predicting. So slower for a while, but then if we manage this right and we increase our quality of life to make this an attractive community, both for existing residents and new residents alike and new jobs, I think that we could experience tremendous growth and tremendous prosperity. Did anyone else want to make a comment before we move with the action? Okay. Okay, while I have the floor, I'm going to ask the City Council for the City of Bloomington to take action. I'd like to have a motion to accept and refer to the Bloomington Planning Commission this report for its review and recommendations and further action by the city. Is there a motion? Alderman Hansen makes the motion. Is there a second? Alderman Purcell seconds. Is there any discussion for any of the members before we take action on this? Okay. Let's see what I think probably rather than a roll call, it'd be easier to do a show of hands of the Bloomington City Council members present. All in favor of adoption? Okay, let the record show that the council members present unanimously voted to accept and refer this report to the Planning Commission for review, recommendations, and further action. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Coos.
I'll start with my thanks to McLean County Regional Planning and all the volunteer members of the committee for the work they've done. It truly is a more comprehensive plan than the last plan. There's a lot more information, a lot more direction that we're looking at, and I think that's appropriate. I think there's some very strong recommendations. I think some of them might be controversial, but I think we need to tackle these issues and address them as a community. So congratulations on a good piece of work. And looking forward to moving this forward and getting some of the idiosyncrasies and kinks out of it at public hearings and moving forward on that. I just want to make one comment on some of the discussion on the high-speed rail corridor that we are currently on and a proposed one. I think people need to be watchful in this community on that issue. That corridor really has no ownership other than by the Central Illinois High or the Regional High Speed Rail Association. There's been no public process on this recommendation. There has been no talk with legislators about this process. So while it gives us concern that we may not be on a high speed rail corridor, I think there's much work to be done and much ownership to be taken of that. I know Mayor Stockton and I are very concerned about this and are pursuing where this recommendation came from. We can't even get that answer. Who made this recommendation? So far, the director of Midwest High Speed Rail Association is claiming ownership of that. So we are work going to continue to work to keep Bloomington normal, a viable rail corridor. Actually, we found out that we've known that we're the fourth busiest stop in the Midwest, next to Chicago, Kansas City, and St. Louis, and we were told by the regional director of Amtrak last week that we're on track to overtake St. Louis, so we'll probably move up to third. Rail's a very, very, very strong component of transportation in McLean County, and we aim to keep it that way. So we have I would take a motion to accept and refer to the Normal Planning Commission on this plan. Thank you. Second? Thank you, Mr. Scott. And again, show of hands in favor of moving this to Planning Commission. And I would note a unanimous agreement by council members present here tonight.
Thank you. Appropriate now for the McLean County Board to take a motion similar. Motion Owens to accept and refer to the Land Use Committee of the McLean County Board. Second, Renner. Questions, comments, or discussion on the motion? All those in favor, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Member Kaisley?
Yes, we have some stepchildren, governmental stepchildren, the Water Reclamation District and the Airport Authority, and I wondered to what extent they have had input into the development of this plan.
That's a good question and perhaps best referred back to Ms. Six.
Although they were not directly represented on the committee, each of our committee members brings with them, as I mentioned earlier, some expertise in broader areas, and the interests of both the Airport Authority and the Water Reclamation District were certainly discussed. We'd be obviously very happy to have further input from them on, you know, any area of the plan, and of course those areas in which they're specifically involved. We have contacted both entities over time as we've worked on the plan, for information, for updates, for additional data, and that process continues.
I also think it's appropriate that as the board, as the county board refers to our land use, our own land use committee, the land use committee can basically take it under advisement your comment this evening, but can really institute whatever process they want to gather additional input from the boards and commissions that we interact with. So, any other questions, comments, or discussion on the Owens-Renner motion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. As a closing comment on my part, I'll point out that Mayor Stockton, Mayor Kusin and I have spent some intentional time over the last couple of months visiting about the importance of intergovernmental relations between McLean County and the city and the town and the smaller municipalities as well, but obviously the big three here. We're committed. I'm committed, and they both tell me that they are. I'm assuming that neither one is shaking their head no to cross me up on this, to continue these kinds of efforts. This was an easy one to start with tonight. We know that our issues are big and growing and complex, and we intend to find ways for our three government entities to work together more productively in the future. With that, our new county administrator, Terry Lindberg, who I failed to introduce at the opening of the meeting, is the gentleman to my far right, spent the entire afternoon slaving over a hot oven, making the cookies on the back table, and so forth and so on. And he really, really, really doesn't want to take any of those home with him. So please take a few minutes, spend some time getting to know folks involved with the development of this plan, members of the various councils and the county board. And with that, is there any other business to come before this group this evening?
I would again like to echo Mayor Kuss and thank the group for all the good work they've done. And secondly, to ask the media to please remind our citizens that there's some very important and very basic recommendations being made here, and that this is now the time to make input to the various land use committee, the two planning commissions, because a lot of what happens from these recommendations will carry forth into individual land use plans, as Member Wendt, for example, mentioned. So please get the word out that we do want public participation.
Member Rakowskis?
Yes, just for new members, either on councils or the board, would you please go over the process now from this point until when these plans get adopted? Some of the board members may not understand the process, just so everyone here understands it.
Well, I think as Ms. Six told us, this is an advisory document now coming to these three entities from the Regional Planning Commission. All three entities have a slightly different process. In the case of the municipalities, they will both refer this, as they have moved to do this evening, to their planning commissions, and may or may not take action, request changes, so forth and so on. The county board is sending it to our land use committee. So we all kind of head down our own paths, and hopefully toward the end we'll all end up approving something that feels very similar. And I think
public hearing.
Absolutely. Yep. Any other business communication, Member Gordon?
Mr. Chairman, just wanted to add, from the perspective of the county's Land Use and Development Committee, at such time as any meetings specifically addressing this proposed document, particularly any public hearings, we will be sure to communicate time and date and place to the municipalities within McLean County, the two large ones and the smaller ones as well, so that I hope will also facilitate interactions with the public and communication to citizens who may wish to appear at those hearings.
Great. Anything else? Okay. Anyone who can pick out Grandma Lindbergh's private family recipe back there wins a prize, according to Terry. So with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.